All right, y'all, let's get into Real Housewives of Potomac, Season 7, Episode 4, Not All Fun and Games. Sit back, relax, and let's, you know, get it cracking. All right, y'all, so Wendy, Eddie, and her family go out to the park, her and her kids. And she and Eddie talk about her meeting with Peter. Eddie wants to speak about her pursuing all these endeavors and having balance in her life. You know, basically, like, Wendy, you're doing a lot. You're doing a whole lot. You're spreading yourself real thin. And I'm concerned. Like, I'll support you, but just know that you are essentially doing too much. And they also talk about her and Robin and their falling out and the whole situation with Family Fun Day and how she wanted to invite, she didn't want to invite Wendy, but she wanted to invite the kids. And Candace was involved and she was like, that sounds crazy to send my kids with Candace and I'm not invited. And yeah, and Eddie just looking like the way the husband should be. The way like him and Chris kind of approach a situation is kind of like, listen, I really don't want no parts of this. Like, this is y'all stuff. I'm going to listen to you because I love you. But this sounds like some unnecessary drama. That's all I'm going to say about that. So they also talk about Giselle brought up the uncomfortable situation with Chris. And, you know, she basically just catching him up on what's going on. We've talked about the Chris and Giselle situation plenty. We've talked about Wendy and Robin and, you know, that plenty. So I don't want to spend too much time on it. But again, I will reiterate. Robin trying to get the kids to come by way of Candace. Although I thought, okay, I get it. I really honestly understood why Wendy said no. Because most women would not be okay sending their kids somewhere with somebody who they're not cool with. Not because they think their kids are in danger. Just because it's just like, you're not rocking with me, unless it's like maybe family. And even then, some people still like, I don't care. I don't care. You can't see your cousins today. And it's unfortunate because it more so it does hurt the kids more than anybody. And they should be able to play together. But I also think it's weird that people can watch one a reality show and not understand that there is some entertainment involved. There are high stakes because guess what? If everybody was kumbaya, we're cool, we're friends, we're sisters, then y'all would be like, this is boring. Y'all would get tired of the sisterhood after a while and y'all would have an issue with it. So let's be clear. Some people come to bring a little action to the situation. One. Two, if you and somebody, like, the thing with Robin and Wendy is I really wish they were friends because I liked it when they were friends, but it makes sense why they're not in a good place because first season, they seem like they made a connection. Their boys, you know, played together. That was cool. Then Wendy kind of switched it up, not just because of her body, but her attitude did take a change. Listen, you're allowed to do that. Nobody's holding you to it. But when she got mad with the Giselle situation and she came at Robin and stuff like that, it doesn't matter how anybody feels about Robin and Juan. That's not anybody's business. But for somebody who's supposed to be your friend to go in on you like that, or y'all were friendly, and for them to go in on you like that and just think like, oh, we're going to be cool. And I'm assuming these women have not talked since that situation. Yeah, that's unnatural to be like, yeah, we're going to hang out and kick it and be best of friends. That's not real. That's not real life. Like, nobody does that. So when, you know, does it come off like Robin's a little aggressive? Yes. Or has a little anger issue? Sure. But Robin is the type, she's not going to BS with you. She's not going to play nice with you. If she don't like you, she's not going to read you down. But she's also not going to sit there and just act like y'all are kiki cool. So I believe that is why the two of them butt heads, you know what I'm saying? And if I just got into an argument with you, I'm not going to turn around and be like, hey, you want to go to this event? And I mean, she even said I was going to have everybody come. But then when me and her bump heads, I decided not to invite her. Did she have to do it in front of everybody? No, but would it have mattered if she would have went and said, "All right, bye, everybody," and she sent a text message to everybody but Wendy? Don't you think Wendy would have found out? Don't you think someone would have been like, "Oh, you're not invited," and Wendy would have been in her feelings? But it's like, you can't dish it out to people, and when you mad, go in on everybody but expect someone to just welcome you with open arms. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. So there's that. So at the same time, we got Robin talking about her, talking about the situation with Wendy and how they're beefing. And she brought up that, basically everything that you heard me talk about with Wendy, the same thing, the opposite happens. She talks to Juan about how she feels bad, and Robin wants to bring the, invite the kids because she don't have an issue with the kids. And she asked Candace to get involved, and Candace is like, "I'm pretty sure that Wendy's gonna tell me to go to hell, and she's gonna tell Robin to go to the hell that's underneath that." So, it's all of that. And she tells Juan about what happened with her and Wendy, then how Candace was left the situation in her feelings after talking to Giselle about Chris. And then later Robin, calls Candace, asks her about talking to Wendy about bringing the kids. I just gotta, make sure I hit all the notes. And then Karen in a separate scene is talking to Raven, and she was getting rid of chicken because apparently she's allergic to it. And so she was talking to her while she was getting rid of chicken because she doesn't digest it well. And they talk about the fact that Ray was not a fan of her doing some improvements on her breasts. He didn't want it to create a, I guess he didn't want it to rub off on Raven, and Raven to think that she should enhance her breasts. And I'm like, first of all, Ray, I get it. It's your daughter. You don't want to think about her in that way, but she's a woman. She's a grown woman. And yes, she may not do it now at 20 something, but someday she might. And it's none of your business. It's her body. She can do what she wants to do. And I think that Karen shouldn't have to hold herself back in life in order for her child to not be influenced. Raven is 24 years old now, which I can't even believe. I can't even believe she's 24. But Raven is 24 years old now, so she's old enough to make her own decisions. And I don't think Karen is telling her to do it. She's just saying, "Hey, if you feel a way about your body and you want to change it, feel empowered to do so." Excuse me. And I don't know. I feel like Ray, it's that he doesn't want to see Raven in that. Like, he doesn't want Raven to make those kind of decisions because it makes her more of a woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, not more of a woman because she got enhanced, but he stops being able to see her as just his little girl, right? The more and more our kids grow up, you have to start seeing them as, this is a man, this is a woman, this is a grown man, this is a grown woman. These are my children forever, but they're not children anymore. And so I feel like it was trying to like have some type of control over what Raven decides to do, which he wouldn't have control over. And also trying to hold Karen back because, when she was 30 and he was 50 something, it was one thing. But now she's 50 something and he's 70 something or about to be 80. And so he's probably feeling her slipping away because she's just getting better and better with time. I mean, Karen has gotten more, she was always a beautiful woman, but she's gotten even more beautiful and she's more confident. She's this businesswoman, entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying? She's really having her season. And I think that it kind of bothers him because he's like, my wife is continuing to move forward. I have my heyday and I'm trying to slow down and she's just hitting the gas. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think when the kids left and between the show and just her wanting to pursue things for herself, she started taking off. And he started to hit the brakes. And so that's a hard reality to accept. Do I think they're gonna break up? No. Do I think that she got a little thing on the side to, keep her pleased? Probably. And maybe at one point when they were first married, Ray had a thing on the side. So who knows? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But I think that Ray needs to understand that Karen is not going to stop. And Karen is not going crazy. She's not like, her face doesn't look like some other person. She's just trying to get a little here, a little there to make herself, still feel vibrant and young. And I think that we need to normalize that. Like, whatever you got to do to feel good about yourself, it's not necessary that you're trying to stop the aging process. It's just like, hey, I'm aging. I want to age beautifully and gracefully. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm sorry, Ray. You gotta accept it. Ashley meets with her publicist, Aunt T, to discuss the status of her and Michael, and they feel they should release a statement to get in front of the situation before the public kind of gets their hands on it and gets, starts adding their opinion. And Ashley, basically reads through the statement with her publicist, and her publicist is like, "Listen, this is cute and all, but I'm gonna need you to go ahead and stay in the house. Go on, stay in the house and lay low, because once people get a wind of it, it's going to catch fire." And she was right. I mean, we live in a day and age, as soon as stuff hits the net, as soon as it hits the gram, the TikToks, the Twitters, it can, I don't want to say catch fire, but it can, take a life of its own. So it is best to lay low. Now, I forgot who was I watching or listening to. I think it was Carlos King. And he loves this show. He loves to comment on this show. And he was talking about how he feels. This was a few weeks, like a month ago, when the show started back up, that he feels that Ashley and Michael aren't really getting a divorced. All right, sorry, y'all, I got interrupted. Oh, golly, I forgot where I was. I think I was talking about how Carlos King was saying that he didn't think they were really, Ashley and Michael were really getting divorced. She thinks that he just didn't want to film. And so this is a storyline, and it's very possible, but I don't know. I mean, Ashley been out here posing with the boys. So maybe they really are getting a divorce. I mean, I think that the relationship has run its course, especially because after having a baby, she just wasn't interested in being that sexual. What's the word I want to think of? Not like she wasn't as sexual, and she wasn't interested in doing the same things that they were doing before. So it would kind of make sense to me that perhaps they grew apart because of it. I don't know. But yeah, that's what's going on there. Then we move on to Robin. Robin is setting up for Family Fun Day, and it was nothing over the top. It was just like, hey, I just want to get everybody together. Like, it wasn't like some overthought situation. And she got a little roast for that. But everybody showed up. I mean, except for Wendy, like everybody did actually make an appearance. Some later than others, but everybody came. And Mia talks about how she's trying to have a different perspective of her mother after speaking with her aunt, and kind of getting this perspective on the fact that when her mom started using drugs, it kind of stunted her mental growth. And so, like, it's kind of like you cease mentally moving forward when you start using. And I guess I think she's trying to make peace with the fact that I'm trying to, it's another phrase that I want to say, like suspended in time. It's almost like your life suspends in time when you start using drugs, or becoming an alcoholic, or like you can be functioning, but they're basically saying that there's a part of you that stops growing for a certain amount of time. And maybe when you get off of it, you can kind of start maturing in a way that you should have if you never got hooked on substances. Somebody, I forgot what I was listening to, but somebody was saying, even when someone has a child really young, it can kind of cease their mental growth. I don't know if I think that's the, I don't feel that's the same, because listen, there's a lot of women out here who've had kids young. And, I mean, if you're super young, yes, it can kind of change your brain chemistry, I'm sure, because now you have to accommodate another life. And if you feel like you kind of missed out on your childhood, you may have childish moments later down the line because you're trying to get that moment that you missed when you were an actual child. But there's a lot of successful women out here who started young, who are doing very well for themselves. So I don't know. 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 No. And Mia kind of talks briefly about her beef with Candace. And I'm just like, I don't know if this is carrying over from when they fought before in previous seasons, but like, either y'all gonna be cool or you're not gonna be cool. Like, I'm wondering if Mia chose Candace to have her beef with. And then it went too far, and now she kind of regrets it, and she wants to be cool with Candace. And so she's trying to figure out how to bridge the gap between where they are and where she wants them to be. And Candace can be on some like, listen, you burnt that bridge, it's burnt forever. I'm burning it all down. You ain't never getting across this bridge. So I think Mia's trying to figure out how to be friends with her. But Mia likes to put her foot in her mouth sometimes. So, respectfully. Sometimes she just starts going off. And sometimes she says things that don't make sense, and it kind of makes it worse, is basically what I'm trying to say. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. More ladies start arriving. Jacqueline, which I feel like we've gotten the introduction of Jacqueline through Mia, but it's not like a full introduction, but she's supposed to be a wife. And I'm like, so when is she gonna get her big introduction? Because it's not like we haven't had any like interviews with her or anything like that. So I'm like, we're like an episode, what's this? This was episode three, episode four, episode three, I think. No, this is episode four, and we've met her. This is, I think, the second time or third time, but it hasn't been like a full intro. And I'm like, what are we waiting for? What's happening? Like, I want more of interaction with her. She comes to the park with her PP, her parenting partner or co-parent, basically her ex. And the ladies briefly talk about the idea of Candace bringing Wendy's kids was a bust, and that was not gonna be successful. Karen seemed to be running away when Charisse arrived. Like, I don't think that, I'm not saying that I don't think Karen was sick, but I felt like she may have amped it up when she saw Charisse arrive, because it feels like whenever Charisse is around, she runs the other way. And we know that Charisse has put Karen on blast in past seasons. So I don't know if she's concerned that Charisse is going to bring up her side piece, because they made sure to drop little cookie crumbs about Ray and Karen talking about it's okay if I have eye candy as long as it stays eye candy. And I feel like they're building up to something. I don't know. But it just seemed like whenever Charisse is around, she's going to find a way to beeline up out of that piece. So I don't know. Soon after, they seem to be having fun. Everybody's having a good time. Candace gets there late, and without any kids, and basically goes to say hi to everybody except Giselle. And Giselle in the confessional notes that Candace, greeted everyone but her, and it's really not that serious. And I agree. Do I think that Giselle maybe was being, no, not, let me not, let me. I like Giselle, I do, I'm a fan. But if you felt some kind of way about the way Chris approached you, and you are anywhere somewhat possibly cool with Candace, despite her, but despite how you may feel about her mouth, this is still someone who you care about. You could have brought it up before. But if and I but I so I understand why Candace feels like you waited till the cameras were rolling, and you and Ashley, y'all team up together sometimes. So y'all waited till the cameras were rolling to make this a storyline, and I'm not gonna give you that. I totally get that. But I also feel like Candace is bringing more life to it because she's keeping it going versus being like, you know what? I talked to Chris. He's gonna apologize, but you're not invited. You're not welcome at my house. Or, if my husband's around, maybe y'all shouldn't speak to each other or something like that. It could have still been a little bit of like shade. I don't with you. I don't trust you. But it's almost like the ignoring her and all that stuff, it makes it seem more childish. And I like Candace. I really do. But I feel like she's making it, she's helping to make it a storyline when it doesn't have to be. That's how I feel. I feel like whether Giselle was truly triggered by what Ashley said, or if Giselle wanted to make it a storyline, I'm not sure what her true intentions were, but I feel like Candace is making it, she's adding layers to it. And she may not realize it. She may just be, she has so much going on, but she, it just feels like you're just making it, you're turning it into something you don't want it to be. Ashley comes. And her and Candace talk about how hard it is. Oh, no, Ashley was just talking to everybody how hard it is to get a house because they keep getting snatched up. And Giselle's like, just let me know what's going on with the houses. And, all that stuff. And she talks about the fact that Michael got a vasectomy because apparently he was suspicious that she was trying to get pregnant again. And, you know, how kind of like that was sad and final for her. And, you know, maybe somewhere deep down inside, even if they're going through their strife, you know, Ashley loves motherhood, and maybe she wanted to try again. Maybe she wanted to try to have a girl, and she probably wants to have all her children with one dad if she could help it. And the fact that Ashley is, I'm going to assume that Ashley is about 34, 35 now. So, you know, when you get to that age, you start being like, I mean, maybe I should have one more before I get to advanced maternal age or whatever. So I kind of, you know, I understand that. I understand the sadness of that, unless you're at a place where you're like, I'm totally done. I'm done and I'm not going to want to go back and have any more. So it's all good. And she also talks about how, you know, Michael wanted to keep having threesomes and she just didn't want to do that anymore. I really feel like once she became, you know, when she started breastfeeding and stuff, she saw, I think she said it in previous seasons, she saw herself as a utility and she stopped seeing herself as a sexual being. Or maybe you kind of fell out of love with Michael, or maybe y'all realized that y'all got what y'all needed from each other and it's time to move on. You know, there's different, it could be all those layers, and it doesn't mean you don't care about them. It doesn't mean that you don't still have love for them, but that doesn't mean y'all should be together either. Ashley and Candace talk about how the IVF wasn't successful and she feels like she's kind of in a purgatory, and Ashley tries to give her some positive vibes and she's like, I wrote your name in my manifestation book and I'm giving you baby dust, and which is a controversial term, because baby dust is basically an endearing of like, hey, I've had children and I wish that for you. So I'm wishing you baby dust. And I think when people say it, they think of it like pixie dust, like a fairy, like a Tinkerbell, you know, sprinkling good thoughts and wishes and sparkly things in hopes that that person can get pregnant if they want to get pregnant. And I think some people look at it in a more, like if a baby, if it, like the ashes of a body, they look at it like that, and it's triggering for people. But I know that Ashley meant it in a supportive kind, I want to see you win kind of way. And it's nice seeing them be friends, because we know it's not gonna last. And one more thing before my baby wakes up, news broke about Ashley and Michael splitting up. Ashley feels worse because the news came out before they were able to make their statement. And she says she's been trying to call Michael. He's not answering. The publicist says she's been trying the same thing. And she's like, I mean, I knew he was going to Vegas, so that kind of makes sense. But like, he should have answered by now. And she doesn't want to bicker with him. She basically kind of references that he's been she's referenced before that he's been trying to avoid her. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where the scene ends. She's just trying to get in touch with him and he won't answer. And she doesn't want it to be tense, but obviously if him avoiding being on, and I don't know if he's avoiding because he just wants nothing to do with the show. I don't know if the show actually took a stand and wanted to cut him out, because I think a lot of issues that people have had in the past is like, y'all have evidence that Michael was doing inappropriate things season after season after season, but yet you kept bringing him on, and you probably brought him on because he's good drama. And it had a lot to do with Ashley's storyline, but it's like, you're going to let someone, and it could be because he's white, I don't know, you're letting someone have the privilege to keep coming back despite the fact that he's victimized people. Someone who works for you guys filed a lawsuit saying that he felt he was inappropriately, you know, touched, and y'all still brought him back. That's kind of jacked up, you know? So I'm not sure if it's Bravo's side. I don't know if it's Michael. I don't know if it's Ashley and Michael working together. I don't know, but it's been lighter. It's lighter seeing Ashley for the most part without him. So, you know, I'm not mad about it. So that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much if you listened all this time. I appreciate you. Share it with somebody you know. Send me an email at gowtfpodcast@gmail.com if you want to ask questions or you have show suggestions. I really want to get this podcast off the road and be more consistent. And be more consistent with it. I'm working on it. But thank you so much for your support, and I will see you guys next time. I know I'm playing catch up. Newborn life. My baby's not even a month old yet, so please bear with me. But I have some more episodes coming soon. So until next time, peace.